Hi, I'm Steve Jobs, and I make computers. As humans, we're all tool builders. We create tools that amplify inherent abilities that we have. Tools like the bicycle, telescope, language, mathematics. But the neatest tool we've ever created is the computer. We can now place the knowledge of our civilization accessible to our fingertips. And this is going to be revolutionary in the humanities.
Hello, and welcome to the Goldcast eBest 30 plus minute Apple conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aerophone Elijah. Join me today. He is the Gimli to my Aragorn, Buster. And he's here.
Hey, I like that analogy. You can be the pretty boy. I'm the one that gets everybody killed. Yeah, it's worse. Yeah.
Also joining us, he's as slender as a woodland elf. Prettier, too. Leander Caney is here.
Really? I saw myself more as like one of those fat dwarves.
That's me.
You're more like one of the Uruk-hai, Leander.
Yeah, right. It's like the toothless sort of, you know, orc with tufts of hair coming out of...
tufts of hair coming out of strange places.
Actually, I look more like... I look the orc king. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Wait, which one? Was that in the new... In the Hobbit or in the Lord of the... Or the original Lord of the Rings?
You know, I can't remember. It was in the Hobbit, I think, yeah.
He had
a huge bear belly.
Sure.
He's all bald and old and disgusting.
Like warts all over his face.
Right. Yeah.
You're too hard on yourself.
That's who I identify with.
I think you're just like Legolas. Long, flowing mane. Beautiful eyes.
That's very not kind of you. Thank you.
Where are we going? So,
and which one were you?
I was Aragorn.
He was Aragorn, but that's definitely a stretch for show.
Yeah, that's Viggo Mortensen, right?
Yeah, I mean,
he's
really,
the best looking guy in the whole movie.
He's more like Pip, probably, I would say.
Pip.
One of the hobbits.
One of the hobbits, yeah.
Dude, definitely Aragorn. I'm amazing with a sword. I got rugged good looks. You know, I've got
Aragorn didn't have a
dimple in my chin, kind of. If the shadows hit it just right, there's a little dimple in my chin. You can't see it in like normal daylight, though. It has to be like the right angle.
What, you have to pinch your cheeks together?
Yeah, I have to actually pinch it together. All right, let's see here. We have so much stuff to talk about this week that actually we already figured out there's no way we're going to make it through all this stuff. So here's what we got on the docket here. We're going to talk about a story which I find to be unbelievable. Somebody in the Apple supply chain seemed to have just confirmed some of the iPhone 8's biggest features, and I'm sure... they will not be making the iPhone 9 after this leak. I want to talk a little bit about the MacBook Pro and how much faster it is compared to the previous MacBook Pro. We're going to talk about the new iPad Pro, the 10.5-inch. This is probably the first iPad I have been excited about in years, probably since the iPad Air, maybe. It's a huge improvement over the previous iPads, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to resist getting one. We'll talk about the HomePod first impressions, which have been surprising. So we'll go into that a little bit. And then we're going to start doing, since there's so many great new features in iOS 11, I was compiling a list of all the cool features that are in the new OS, and we were going to talk about them today, but then I realized there's just too many cool features. So we're going to start spreading them out over maybe two or three shows. So we'll do some this week, we'll do some next week, and we'll probably do some the week after. There's a lot of new amazing stuff in iOS 11. And then we're going to wrap up with an all new under review. And I got to say, mine's going to be totally lame compared to what you guys have. I found something cool, but I know what Buster's going to pitch, and it's definitely not going to beat that. Buster's been on a roll lately, getting some cool shizzle.
Yeah, I'm gonna win this contest for like the next 8 months. I feel like.
Yeah, I know. You've got a lot of actually. I actually have some cool stuff coming in too to review, but I just haven't gotten it all sorted yet. But I've got something cool, nevertheless. Before we jump into our first story, let me say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Are you ready to make your next move? It's 2017. Maybe you're planning on starting a business. Maybe you're a student and you want to showcase some of your artwork online or your photography online. You know, if you're doing anything professionally, you need an online presence. And Squarespace makes it so easy to be online quickly with a beautiful website. You could do a one-page what they call a cover page, just a single one-page web experience that's really immersive, that you can include video on or large photos on. You could build a blog, you could build a entire e-commerce website. All this stuff is included with your Squarespace subscription. And creating a website couldn't be easier. Squarespace has an amazing, easy-to-use drag-and-drop system where you can customize virtually everything, make your website look uniquely yours, and you don't need to know how to code at all. Although, if you want to dig into the code, Squarespace will allow you to do that too. Just incredibly powerful, incredibly easy to use. If you want to get started with your own website, head on over to squarespace.com, sign up for a free 2-week trial, and you can access all of Squarespace's features, build a website, see how you like it. And if you decide you want to continue your service, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout to save 10% off your first order. Plus, if you order a year of service, you get a free domain name, and you get a better price if you order a year of service at one time. That is squarespace.com, and use code CULTCAST at checkout. Okay, let's start with this iPhone 8 story first. Apple suppliers confirm some of iPhone 8's biggest features. Apple supplier Largon... That sounds like your other sidekick in Only Endor in Conan the Barbarian. It's you, Conan, at Largon. Largon has confirmed it will be shipping its new 3D sensors in time for iPhone 8. And another report is confirming that it will include waterproofing and wireless charging technology, stuff that we've talked about forever but never really had confirmation on. Largon's sensors are capable of carrying out facial and iris recognition and provide an alternative to fingerprint scanning. They could also be the solution Apple turns to if it's unable to embed Touch ID under the screen, as some rumors have reported that they will be doing. This would be interesting. We've seen quite a few hardware, quote-unquote hardware leaks of the iPhone 8 now, and I don't think any of them have shown to have a Touch ID on the back. Buster, have you seen any?
No hardware leaks have, right, yeah. There's only been one hardware leak, technically. I think it was two sheets of glass for the front and the back of the iPhone 8.
That's the one that just came out, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, that is curious, isn't it? Because the front of the phone is not supposed to have a Touch ID sensor. And I don't know how they're going to solve this problem, because I don't think that you could get rid of the Touch ID sensor in lieu of facial recognition. Do you?
It's going to be embedded in the display.
So you think they're going to move potentially from a Touch ID sensor to a face recognition or iris recognition?
No, the Touch ID sensor is embedded in the display. That's been the rumor for like a year.
Oh, so you think that they still will include
a Touch ID sensor?
Yeah,
but it would be under part the glass. But it's not going to be a Touch ID sensor. It's just going to be as part of the screen, you think?
Right, yeah, it won't have it, but it'll be a Touch ID sensor. It's just going to be merged with the display embedded behind it, so you don't actually see it.
Oh, so you think they're actually going to have a Touch ID sensor? It sounds like we're talking in circles here, but I don't understand
what you don't get. Well, Leander, help me out.
I don't know how to help Buster. He just can't just seem to get it through his thick skull.
The previous reports have said the actual screen itself will be what reads your fingerprints, and you're saying there will be a Touch ID sensor, like an actual sensor underneath the screen, and you have to touch that specific part of the screen.
That's how it was going to work this entire time, man.
No, that's not right. That's not right. It was going to be the actual screen itself. They were trying to build it in, like, the actual
screen. How's
the
screen going to read it without a sensor underneath it?
Yes, thank you, Leander.
No. I don't agree with what you guys are pitching my way.
That's fine. If everybody will go and tweet to at Airfon Elijah that he's wrong on this one, that'd be
cool. It's just at Airfon, by the way. Just at Airfon. E-R-F-O-N. You can come tell me how amazing and right I am. This is news to me. What you guys are saying is news to me. That is not how my understanding has been of it this entire time.
Your understanding, like, skipped a step to where it was like somehow the screen can sense, like, the ripples of your finger, but there's still going to be an area where you have to press down on for Touch ID. The sensor is going to be embedded in behind the display. because it's going to be an OLED screen, so it's easier for it to see through it.
And that's your understanding too, Leander?
Yeah. Right, exactly, yeah. And it, you know,
I'm going to have to look this up after we're done recording. this has never been my understanding of it, and I feel like we've talked about this 100 times. Well, how are we just having this discovery right now?
You're like Donald Trump. It's like, yeah, who knew that touch-eye sentences could be so hard?
No, but even you guys didn't know that I felt or I understood it differently than you did.
Yeah, anyway, I don't understand your understanding.
Okay.
In your defense, there's been competing rumors because it's like it's been in the back, it's been at the front, right. You know, it's like being dispensed with. There's all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe there still will be a physical button on the front somewhere. So
yeah, clearly we don't know what's going to happen yet. But okay, so Touch ID aside, one of the other things that happened was this guy, Robert Huang, who's the Wistron CEO. They had a press event with press there, and they were talking about shareholder meeting stuff. And he was telling these people, well, I'll just tell you exactly what he said. He said the assembly process for the previous generations of the iPhone have not changed much, though new features like waterproof and wireless charging now require some different testing, and waterproof function will alter the assembly process a bit. So he's basically giving up some critical details about the iPhone 8. I don't know how he could have thought this was a good idea, considering how secretive Apple is about everything. Right. I wonder if this is legit.
The Apple suppliers, by this point, they're churning out the parts for the iPhone. So, yeah, they definitely know what it's going to be like by now, I would say, right, Leander?
but to be talking about this with reporters at a shareholder meeting is totally crazy.
Yeah, he's going to get a shakedown from Apple, Tim Cook or Jeff Williams or somebody's going to be like,
he's going to get visited by Tim Cook's beatdown squad.
His bodyguard, yeah.
So the difference between the next iPhone, the iPhone 8, will be an IP68 rating if these reports end up being true, which means that it will be water resistant in up to 3 feet of water for 30 minutes, not just splash proof, which is an IP67 rating. That's what the iPhone 7 currently has. And I thought we were getting a totally waterproof iPhone, on the iPhone 7, and I was really excited about it. And then I read that it's basically just splash proof. And I always have wanted to use my iPhone in the shower. You know, like,
well,
that's the whole point of getting it to be waterproof.
Don't you do that? I do anyway.
You do? Man, that sounds really dangerous. I've never tried it.
I totally washed it under the faucet the other day, too. It was all greasy, so...
Nice. I would have guessed that just being in the shower with a naked El Caney would have broken your phone, at least the camera sensor.
Yeah, it works fine. I mean,
and
I
you
think,
use it in the shower often, and you haven't had a single issue.
Well, I play music in the shower, and I put it on the side of the tub, so it gets splashed. And
okay,
yeah,
so you don't put it in the actual problem. Shower with you.
Well, like I said, I washed it under the faucet the other day, and it was fine. And I also put it in a puddle to get some pictures of it when it first came out. And that was completely immersed, in a little puddle of water. I mean, it was only there for a couple of minutes, but
that's a long time.
Yeah, and it's fine. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I've been too paranoid to even try that. Ever since I read that it's just splash proof.
They're conservative. You know, they call it splash proof because they don't want the liability of saying it's waterproof, because then someone will take it scuba diving and then they'll get into a fight with them. So they got to be very conservative about what they say, just so they don't get into trouble with liability-wise.
So I was on vacation this last week, some of you may know, and I was on the beautiful beaches of Florida. And I kept thinking, how great would it be to bring my iPhone into the water and take pictures and stuff, right? Because if you go to the water very often, you need a waterproof camera. And I don't have a waterproof camera, and I just kept thinking, man, I wish my iPhone could do this. That would be incredible. And it sounds like the iPhone 8 will finally have the full waterproofing that I've always wanted on an iPhone, and something that I think everyone would want to have, right? Just the ability to take your phone into the water or into the bubble bath like Leander does.
just don't lose it in the water, don't drop it. And then you're like going to be swimming around forever trying to find it.
Well, at least when you find it several weeks later, it will still be intact. Isn't that what happened to your Apple Watch? Someone found it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it work still, Buster?
Apple fixed it, and then it worked.
What happened? It came off in the water, and didn't somebody find it like weeks later?
Yeah, weeks later, in like the river that the lake that I jumped into empties out into. So
that's crazy.
Crazy.
I vaguely remember this story. I just remember it being incredible. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the MacBook Pro. So
that's a Lord of the Rings story, right there.
I know, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's unfathomable that would actually even happen.
I had all these really vivid pictures of like the river and the lake and the watch glowing at the bottom and the stones.
Sorry. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the MacBook Pro. This is great news. And I'll put this in context here in just a moment. The MacBook Pro, the new one with the Kaby Lake processor, is up to 20% faster than the previous Skylake processor model. And the early benchmarks for the new MacBook Pros have just come in, and they are suggesting that in the single core mode, the MacBook Pro is about 20% faster. And from some of the tests I saw, it was even faster than that in the multi-core tests. So it could be even more than 20% faster than the previous generation MacBook Pro. Man, what a bummer if you'd purchased that. What a bummer.
Like I did.
Yeah, I saw somebody comment. He's like, man, I waited like years for them to upgrade the MacBook Pro, thinking I would be safe for a while. Then I bought it, and then several months later, they released this. It would be a major bummer. But to put this in context, the new machine is only about 30% faster than the 2012 or 2013 MacBook Pros, depending on which tests you look at. So almost all of this improvement just happened with this new Kaby Lake processor, and one of the reasons why I'm still using a 2013 MacBook Pro, because they just haven't gotten all that faster over the last several years. They've just kind of remained the same, and they've improved different aspects of the MacBook Pro, like the I/O and faster SSDs and that type of thing. But the actual CPU itself hasn't gotten faster at all, which is nuts. And it's good to see that the MacBook Pro is finally getting a legitimate speed increase. Now let's move on to the 10.5-inch iPad Pro. I feel like this iPad is finally the Pro version that Apple has been trying to sell us on for the last, couple years. This thing is a beast. And all the reviews that I have seen of it have been positive. I haven't seen a single negative review on the new iPad Pro. And I gotta say, I'm pretty excited about this. I'm not even sure I can resist. I mean, I have an iPad Air 2 that it works perfectly well as the Reddit machine, which is what it is. But this thing looks amazing, and you've gotten to play around with it a little bit, right, Leander?
Yeah. It's a beast. It's lovely.
So one of the big improvements of the iPad Pro is its new variable refresh rate, which Apple calls ProMotion. And it means that it can run at 120 hertz as opposed to, I don't even know what the previous generation.
I think 60.
It's probably 60. So it refreshes twice as fast. And I saw some tests of this on YouTube where people would scroll back and forth and they would slow it down. And it's a dramatic effect. I mean, it makes things look a lot smoother when you're scrolling, when you're, fingering through the different apps and stuff. I think it looks significantly better than the old iPad. And everyone who has reviewed this thing agrees that the A10X processor is blazingly fast. And it uses the newest Touch ID, so no more, faulty touches. And a dramatically better anti-reflection coating. I also saw some tests on this as well where people would hold the different iPads up to the light and show you how much reflection came off them. And the new iPad Pro is way better than the previous versions. It's also about 30% faster than the 9.7-inch iPad Pro, so a huge increase in speed. I saw some GarageBand export times with the 9.7-inch iPad Pro and this new 10.5-inch. And the new iPad Pro, I mean, smoked the old iPad. Sometimes it was twice as fast as the 9.7-inch iPad Pro. So huge increase in performance. And much better cameras as well. If you had you have the 12-inch iPad Pro. Isn't that right, Leander?
It's actually the 10.7.
Oh, you have the 10.7.
Oh, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. You mean the previous generation one?
Yeah, the previous generation.
I've got the 12-inch one.
So the cameras on that, I didn't realize this, are really crappy. Like, it seems like they made some concessions to keep the price down. And one of the things they did was they really gimped the front camera. So it's a 1.2 megapixel camera, which is terrible. And I think the back camera might be 7 megapixels. I'd have to check on that. Anyway, the new iPad Pros, both of them, have a much better 7 megapixel front camera and a 12 megapixel back camera. In fact, I was reading that this is the same camera that's in the iPhone 7, and fuller, better sounding external speakers. Leander, how many of the new iPad Pros did you order? One or two? Three?
Seven, one for each different day. Yeah, I didn't. Lewis got one, but I've been playing around with it here. I'm really tempted to get one, but like you said, I've already got an old iPad Pro.
Yeah.
I'm really tempted by it. It really is nice. It's a really good screen size because it's almost the same form factor, the same size as... the old iPad.
Yeah.
But of course, because the bezels have been thinned out, the screen is that much larger. So the screen's really nice and big, but it's not too big. Like the 12-inch one is almost too big. You know, you
it's
can't
too
really,
big and it's too heavy, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't really hold it. It's not good for reading on or holding, like in one hand. It's good if you're working on it and if you've got it in your lap, it's great. But, you know, for the kind of things like lying in bed reading, it's not as easy to hold as the other one. So it's much lighter. It's like 1 pound. So it's really easy to hold with one hand. It's got four speakers, so it sounds really great. It's really sleek. You know, the fit and finish on it is gorgeous, and that screen really is lovely.
One of the things I hadn't considered is the refresh rates. It's especially if you use the Apple Pencil on the screen. The smoothness of the line creation as you're drawing is much better than the previous iPads. It actually makes it look like a serious tool for artists now, just how fine-tuned it is when the pencil tip touches it and the line just smoothly follows it as your pen or as your pencil glides over the front of the screen. So for artists, I think this is going to be a huge improvement. And then also just, coloring in stuff with your finger and stuff too. You know, like that lag that you see on current generation iPads, that's going to be diminished a lot too. And I was genuinely surprised at how good they made the camera on this iPad. Because, most people don't ever even use the camera on their iPad. I can't remember the last time I took a picture with my iPad.
Oh,
but for my mom,
Spike
it's
Lee.
Her main camera.
Yeah, a lot. I see old people, and no offense, but a lot of like tourists, a lot of times Asian tourists, taking pictures with their iPad. Not to stereotype
anybody. Lots of older people. They love the
yeah.
iPad camera. That's true.
Yeah.
Like for older people, where it's their main computer, to have like a nicer camera built in. Especially my mom, she's real big into gardening, so she's constantly taking pictures of just the stuff in her garden. It's like that's that's always what she has on her iPad. So I think this is going to be a huge improvement. I, like I said, I'm genuinely excited about this, and I might end up buying one of these, even though I really don't need an iPad. That's the problem. You buy one, and it's good for like four
yeah.
or 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm with Lewis. Like he's upgrading from the original iPad. Mm-hmm. It's got a cracked screen, and the thing is, it's surprising how heavy it is, and much bulkier than the new ones, which I'd forgotten. And,
what generation does he have?
I think it's the original, but it might actually be the second generation. Thinking
he's
about
got
it now.
An original iPad or an
I'm
iPad
sorry, I think,
too?
I think it's the second generation. So, but it's all kind of cracked and janky, and it really is slow. But it had lasted him for years, and he was quite happy with it. It's finally because the screen was cracked. He was like, okay, maybe I better think about getting a new one because it was cutting
finally,
his fingers.
The screen was cracked.
It's
you
all
think?
Covered in blood.
Yeah, it's covered in dog feces. He's like, I don't know. I could probably make this thing last another three or 4 years.
I know. He'd been wanting to pull the trigger for a while, but, he couldn't really sort of justify it, right? Until
it's so expensive. I mean, the new iPad, the base level model, the 10.5, starts at $650.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but now at least it feels like there's a pro version of the iPad and then just like the regular, budget version of the iPad. It seems like there's a lot more differences between those two now. And
yeah, yeah.
I mean, it
and
looks
that's,
like a
that's
beast,
cheap,
man.
Really, for a pro level machine. Like, if you could be looking at it as a MacBook replacement, and it's half the price. So
right.
It's actually a good deal if you look at it like that.
The only thing I'll say is the new smart keyboard has been getting mixed reviews. I've seen some people say it feels flimsy. Some have said that it feels unsatisfying to type on. It's just not a very good keyboard, or not as good as something that you would expect from Apple. So if you're thinking about using this as your main machine, that's also something to consider. Let's talk about the HomePod next, because the reviews are in for the HomePod as well. And again, I haven't seen any negative reviews of the HomePod, which is surprising because you know, audio is a very objective or subjective thing, right? It's hard to get a consensus on a speaker. And from all the reviews I've been seeing, everyone has said that this is an amazing sounding speaker, especially when you have more than one. And I think the question for me now is, not am I going to buy a HomePod, but how many HomePods am I going to buy?
Yeah, I saw the same thing. When I saw those reviews, I was like, oh no, please, please, no. Because, yeah, it's definitely that kind of situation, isn't it?
Lander's in denial.
Lander's like, oh no, my Sonos.
No, it's Sonos.
Oh, I guess that put those up on Craigslist and then got money for your...
That's
HomePod,
a good
no
point,
problem.
Yeah. You should do it now before they come on sale, yeah. Right.
Well, some of the reviews said they sound better than the Sonos Play 3. What version are they on? Are they on the Play 3? Is it the current generation?
Well, the newest ones are the Play 5, which are bigger and beefier.
Okay.
So they really... And I was actually interested to see that no one compared it to a Play 5. They compared it to the Play 3, which is actually sort of like the medium-sized one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's actually a fair comparison.
But Apple's speaker is small, though, right? Like the Play 3.
I guess it's kind of I thought it was like a little bit bigger because it has a more drivers. I'd have to double check though because I'm not sure how many drivers the Play 3 has.
I guess Apple had a bunch of people come and check out the HomePod, and you know people were checking it out at WWDC, but it was noisy, so you couldn't really tell what it sounded like. So Apple had like a quiet environment that people could come and check out the speaker, and they had some other speakers there as well, including the Sonos Play 3 and then also the Amazon Echo. Let me read you some of these reviews. Mashable said, the audio wasn't just loud, filling a room with sound. It was rich. Or CNET said, HomePod came off as bolder and more vivid than the Sonos Play 3 and a lot better than the Amazon Echo, which was surprising to me because I think the Echo sounds decent. You know, it doesn't sound terrible. CNET also said, the music sounded consistently vivid and crisp. What Hi-Fi, which reviews high-end audio gear, says, we also heard a pair of HomePods playing a live recording of Hotel California by the Eagles. Great song. I hate the Eagles, man. I hope somebody said that during the listening experience. No, man. Not the Eagles, man. I hate the Eagles.
All the things they're playing, the Eagles. It really is. That really struck me.
The Hotel California version that they did at the MTV Unplugged, or was it VH Unplugged, was one of the finest live music experiences I had ever seen. So what? I will put that out there. Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. Just because you get to see how musical the Eagles actually were, how good at guitar they all were, and Glenn Frey and stuff. Anyway, what Hi-Fi went on to say, the attention to detail was striking with different instruments sounding discreetly realized. Engadget called HomePod's audio incredible. And they also went on to say, if listening to the HomePod was like listening to a CD, then audio through the Amazon Echo sounded like AM radio. Sick.
I'm not sure.
Oh, sorry, my Echo heard me. That was a sick burn.
I know. It's going to be turning on the carbon monoxide in there in a minute.
Jeff Bezos has just turned on the carbon monoxide generator in my blank Echo. I can't say its name. It's sitting right here. So I'm super hyped for this thing now. I think I'm going to get two, but it's an expensive investment. I mean, two of them are going to cost $800, once you include tax. So I want to go and I want to hear one first, but it's going to be kind of hard to make that determination at the Apple Store. Like, how are you going to tell how good it sounds?
Yeah, good point. You often hear people testing the speakers in the Apple Store anyway, right? You know, you can hear every time you're down there, someone's blasting something in the corner.
That has literally never happened in my Apple Store.
Oh, really?
I guess Seattle people are too shy to do something
right,
like
they're
that.
They're too
well
behaved.
To themselves.
Yeah. That's right. Here in San Francisco, yeah, they don't give an F.
Yeah, I've literally never heard anyone turn the volume up to even an audible level on any of the speakers at the Apple Store here. That's really funny.
Yeah.
So, super hyped about the HomePod speakers now after hearing that these actually do sound pretty good. And you know what's funny is I was reading there's still a big market for the Apple Hi-Fi. People are still using that thing, and it actually has a pretty decent market on eBay.
Yeah.
Because the speakers actually sounded really good.
Yeah. I met a lot of people who said it was their favorite speaker.
Wow. It's just interesting because that thing fizzled so fast.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't a success, was it? But the people who did buy it liked it.
Apparently. So I'm really looking forward to taking the HomePods for a spin here, considering how good the reviews have been. let's before we do our cool new things in iOS 11 tidbits here, let me touch on something I mentioned last week because we got a little bit more information about it now, and that is iCloud storage sharing, which if you're on a family plan, you probably know. Until recently, you could not share your iCloud storage with anyone else. The iCloud storage was for your specific iTunes account for your specific devices. So Apple is changing that, and I'm not sure if this became effective immediately or if this is something that's going to be happening with iOS 11. I couldn't figure this out. What did you say, Buster?
I think it's effective immediately because I saw my storage tiers at 2 terabytes now, and I had the old 1 terabyte plan. So.
Holy moly, you're on the 2 terabyte plan now?
Well, I did have the 1 terabyte plan because the smaller plan wasn't enough for me. So I think it automatically upgrades you. Dude, all my photos. I shoot tons of video too, so I keep them all on the cloud.
And you're shooting them all in 4K, I'm assuming.
A lot of them, or slow motion.
Oh, all right. Yeah, my iCloud photo library is huge now. It's probably close to 200 gigabytes, and in no small part because of 4K video. I think it's a ploy. That's why Apple's moving to 4K on everything, because they know if you store it in iCloud, you're going to run out of space in no time, and now they have you on a subscription plan. Anyway, so following the WWDC keynote, Apple updated and simplified its iCloud storage tiers. So the lowest tier is still 50 gigabytes for 99 cents. And the middle tier, which is 200 gigabytes, is still $299. But now you can share the middle tier with people on your family plan so their devices can use that storage too. Finally, we've needed this forever. And as Buster just said, the top tier, which used to be 1 terabyte, is now 2 terabytes and is still $999. So they basically doubled your storage. Well, in fact, they did double your storage. And you can share that with your family plan members as well. So huge welcome addition to iCloud storage. This is going to be a money-saving feature for a lot of different people because now you don't have to have all these tiers for every single device. So a welcome change. Although I will say, if you want to do all this for free, you don't get all the fancy iCloud integration, but Google Photos offers free backups for your photos and videos for your entire library.
Yeah, but there's caveats with that. It's lower quality. They don't back it up at full quality.
Oh, they don't.
Which is a big problem, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've looked into this, and then their storage plans are a bit cheaper, but not that much cheaper.
Well, I mean, the other thing is you lose all the iCloud integration, which, right. You know, like you take photos on your phone and all of a sudden it's on your Apple TV. Yeah. Like, that's worth something to me.
You can set it up so you can automatically sync, you know, like there are ways to do it, but it does take a few more steps.
The other option that you have is you can back up to Plex. So if you have a Plex server and you are a premium subscriber, which I just became like a lifetime subscriber because I love Plex so much. You can back up all this stuff to your, you know, your server at your house, which, I mean, it's kind of esoteric. A lot of people don't understand the point of Plex, Buster. I know you don't. You
think well, it's totally I do. Pointless, but like I'm at the and like I think me 8-10 years ago would have loved Plex back when I was downloading all kinds of movies, torrenting all kinds of movies and music, and so it's like really cool if you want to like manage your own like media library. I'm just like too lazy now to care enough to organize all that.
Well, how do you get movies and stuff now? Is it just Netflix?
Netflix, HBO Now, the internet.
Oh, you're an HBO Now subscriber.
Yeah.
Oh, dang. That's the good stuff right there.
Yeah. I think I finally dropped Hulu. Like, for you know, Hulu wasn't worth it. But I had, like, all three for a while.
Holy moly. Yeah, you know, I've just never... Hulu's never appealed to me. Probably because I don't really watch the TV shows that they are showing, and plus they showed commercials as well when right. you pay
even though
your
you're
service,
a paid
right?
subscriber, you're just like
that.
What the
really,
fuck?
Just that really just chafed me, man.
Yeah,
chafed my hide.
And so I think like most of the time I'd watch like Comedy Central shows or Rick and Morty, and it's like you can watch like The Daily Show for free every day online. So
you can.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of pointless. All right, well, let's move on to the iOS 11 features that were cool that you probably didn't hear about. So iOS 11 is jam-packed with great, tasty shizzle. And as I said, I was compiling this list of all these cool features that we were going to talk about today, but the list became so long that there's no way we could get through all this. So I think we're just going to do three, and then we'll talk about some more next week, and then the week after, possibly the week after that, possibly the week after that week, after that week. We'll see how it turns out. So the first one that I thought was cool is in iOS 11, if you're running low on storage, you can turn on a feature that lets you automatically offload unused apps. Which, for anyone that has like a phone with 16 gigabytes of storage, you know eventually you run out of space, and if you want to put like a movie or something on your phone, you have to go through and figure out what to get rid of. Well, this will get rid of your unused apps automatically, but it still keeps all your data. So, super handy. The next big one, we talked a little bit about this last week, but we got more information about it now, is Control Center is now just one page, and also is customizable now, and it also includes some pretty cool 3D touch support. For instance, if you touch on the music icon in Control Center, it expands and it opens so that you have more controls available to you. Buster, you've been using iOS 11. Have you played around with this very much yet?
Yeah, I think the Control Center is probably like the best new feature. There are some things I don't like on it though. Like 3D touching to expand like certain areas, that's super awesome. They tweaked how they do like the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth buttons. Mm-hmm. So now when you like tap the Wi-Fi or the Bluetooth, it doesn't turn them off. It just disconnects you from whatever device or network you're from on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was kind of like
that is a weird one. I wonder why they did that.
I don't know. It kind of makes sense in some ways, like to disconnect from a Wi-Fi network if you don't want it. Or like I'll tap the Bluetooth thing to disconnect my wireless headphones.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you also have to go into the menu sometimes, too, to make sure devices are connected. Because, like, right now it says Bluetooth, not connected, but I have my Garmin smartwatch, and it says it's connected, like, in the app and everything. So it's kind of confusing.
But it could be kind of buggy still, too, because I think I saw you on Twitter. You said that it was still pretty buggy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first beta release. I've had problems where, like, the camera doesn't even work. Like, it's just a black screen, and you have to reboot it. Tons of problems with apps. Like, you know, all kinds of apps, like, have little things that just, like, don't work, or they'll just reboot randomly because they're not coded for iOS 11 yet.
Which I guess isn't surprising, considering it's, you know, it's still early days beta, and they're trying to work all that stuff out. So when you use the 3D touch and you press on one of the icons and it expands, what happens to all the icons around it? Do they just get pushed outwards or pushed downwards or something?
It's like basically just pulls up a whole new screen. So like you 3D touch like the Wi-Fi icon, and it goes from four buttons to six, adding like AirDrop and a personal hotspot. The music, it just basically pulls up the whole card, takes up the full screen at that point. But those are AirPlay, that's another one that's like a full expandable one. And the flashlight that's cool. I didn't even notice this. You 3D press on the flashlight icon, and then you can like adjust the levels of brightness on it. That's pretty cool.
But that was in iOS 10 though.
Was that?
But you yeah, that was in iOS 10.
No, you could do that on iOS 10, but what I'm saying is you 3D touch on it and it brings up a slider thingy for the flashlight. Like
it's a different way
to control it. Yeah.
So it's not just bright, medium, low.
No, it's four levels. It looks one,
oh, nice.
Yeah, two, three, four.
You know, it's funny. I would say control panel is probably one of my most used features in iOS 10, the new control panel.
Uh-huh.
And the 3D touch, like on like the flashlight, something I probably actually use 3D touch the most for, is being able to control the different levels of the flashlight. Okay, and one of the other super cool iOS 11 features is some more customizability for the AirPods. So if you own AirPods, one of the best tech purchases I've made in the last year, you know that if you have them in your ears, you can set the iOS settings so that if you double tap the AirPods, it will either activate Siri or pause and play the track. And that's all that you can do. Well, in iOS 11, they've added more functionality. You'll be able to skip forwards and backwards between tracks with a double tap of either earpiece. And it will be possible to customize the AirPods so the double tap on one earpiece skips while a double tap on the other goes back to the previous track. So you finally have track control. This kind of always baffled me why they didn't build this in right away. Like, they should add it so that you can do like a triple tap as well. It should be like the trackpad. Like, there should be different levels or kinds of taps that initiate different actions so that you can do more than just one thing with your AirPods at one time. Skipping forward and back in tracks is cool, but not as cool when you have to forego being able to play and pause your track because you're using the skip functionality instead. Like, I should be able to triple tap my AirPod to pause, or and then also, you know, double tap to skip forward and skip backward. Like, they need to build some more of that stuff in.
I actually set that up in iOS 11, and it actually sticks if you go back to iOS 10.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Yeah.
If you roll back, it must be built into the AirPods then.
Right, exactly.
Interesting. So you rolled back to iOS 10 then.
Well, I've got I put iOS 11 on a spare phone, mm-hmm. The beta. So I didn't put it on my phone. So then I set it up on there to the AirPods. I paired it with that phone, the iOS 11 phone. Got that forward and backwards functionality, and then when I use the AirPods with the iOS 10 phone, it still works the same way.
I see. Oh, very cool. So it does program them into the AirPods themselves. And I can never miss the opportunity to just say, since we're talking about the AirPods, don't you just love your AirPods, Leander?
Yeah, they're great. I use them every single day.
I do too. I freaking love my AirPods.
They're by far the best headphones I've ever owned.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, same here. I guess can't say it. I can't profess my love often enough. They are one of the best gadgets that I have ever purchased. Like, granted, they are, I think they're overpriced at $170, $180.
Yeah.
They're a lot of money.
Right.
And I would be happier if they were like $140. But man, they are so convenient and they sound good. And being able to use just one at a time so you can listen to a podcast or something is such a cool trick that other headphones can't do. Anyway, okay. Let's see here. I think that's it for the iOS 11 features that were pretty cool. We'll talk about more of these next week. I got a whole list of them here, and they just keep getting better, my friends. But we're out of time, so let's go ahead and move on to Under Review, the segment where we tell you what we like and what we don't about the stuff that we're currently reviewing. Let me just go first, because this is going to be like a... If I go last, it's going to be like a giant whoopee cushion on the end of the show. Wow. And and everyone's going to leave here depressed. So I had a flight recently to Florida, and the flight was long. It was like 5.5-6 hours long. And I get flight anxiety. In fact, as I get older, I swear it's getting worse. And every time the plane trembles in turbulence, yeah. I feel like I'm going to die. Yeah,
right. You flip inside out.
Oh, man. Leander.
The adrenaline rush all through your body. Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it?
The freaking turbulence in and out of... I had a layover in Denver. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Horrible. Oh, my gosh. Terrifying, you know? Anyway, all that to say, I was trying to download some new apps on my phone to keep myself distracted, and so I wouldn't be sitting there white with terror, you know, as we departed these airports. Right. It didn't necessarily help when we were taking off, but it did help once we got in the air. And the app that I downloaded is called Lake. It was one of the winners of the Apple Design Awards at the last WWDC.
Yep.
And it's a super cool app. It's a coloring app. It works on your iPad or on your iPhone, and every day it presents one drawing that you can color in. I know it sounds like totally juvenile. And you're like, really? You're pitching a coloring book app, essentially? It's incredibly well designed. The coloring tools are fun. They're easy to use. The app is free. And it just gives you a little activity to do once every day. And the designs that I colored in, they look pretty cool. Like, I actually like the way that they churned out, and I wouldn't describe myself as a illustrator. I'm not the best drawer, so to say, but I found it to be a really relaxing thing to do, and it was a very creative process, and it was just kind of a fun thing to go through. And it took me like 5 or 10 minutes. Like, it's just a cool little activity. It's fun for adults. Your kids would probably love it. if you have kids, like this is like going to be perfect for you on like an airplane flight or something. So check it out. It's called Lake. It's free on the App Store. It does have some in-app purchases, like if you want to buy extra drawings, but you certainly don't need to do that. I mean, you could just use the free version and you would be totally content. That's my pick. Leander, do you want to go next?
Sure. Okay. I've been testing out a new e-bike, electronic bike.
Ooh, you're kidding.
Ooh, no, nice. And it's by a local manufacturer, eSpin Bikes. They're based here in San Francisco.
Heck yeah. Man, I love electric gadgets.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. And the cool thing about this is it's relatively inexpensive compared to other electric bikes. It's
how much is it?
Well, the regular price is $1,888. So
that's actually not bad for an electric bike.
It is. Yeah, it's about. I think it's, you know, it's about 2/3 of the price of some of the other, you know, of most electric bikes that I can, far as I can tell. The entry level price point seems to be about $3,500 to $4,000, and I think it's kind of comparable to the other one I rode was a Stroma, which is a really nice electric bike. And
that's like king of the mountain right there.
Right. And no, their older version, which is on sale now, goes for $3,500. So by the time you add tax, it's going to be like $4,000. And the nice new ones start at $6,000 and the top of the line is $10,000.
Oh my God.
And they are.
Wow.
Well, they're beautiful, but yeah, $10,000 for an e-bike. And this isn't quite, I wouldn't say it's comparable. It's not really fair to compare it to the Stroma because it's not as refined. It's not as finished, but it is in some ways comparable. You know what I mean?
Well, as far as functionality, I bet you it is comparable. Like what I find about like the higher end electric bikes is, as you said, they're more polished. Like they'll integrate like the batteries into like the bike tubes themselves instead of having like a battery pack like bolted on to the bike.
Right,
but the functionality is still there.
Well, this is like that. So that's exactly what it is. The battery pack is built into the frame, so it looks kind of like a Stroma. It doesn't have an ugly motor strapped on. It doesn't have an ugly battery pack strapped on. It's actually integrated into the frame, so it's fairly clean.
Yeah, looks good.
It's just not quite. It doesn't have the connectivity features that the Stroma has.
What did you say the name of the bike was again?
eSpin.
eSpin.
And they have two models. There's like a sport version, and then there's a comfort version. And they're on sale at the moment through Gilt. So for $1,199, so $1,200, which is really a good deal. And it's a quality mountain bike with a really good electric motor.
This thing looks pretty good, Leander.
It's nice. It's got disc brakes. It's got suspension. The motor's really powerful. Like I was going up some crazy hills here in San Francisco.
Nice.
And it's fun because it's effortless. You know, you just glide up the hill. It's magical. It's like riding a magic carpet.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. I remember when I was riding that that Curry Tech bike years ago, and I was cruising up that. I was just bolting up that hill. It makes it so much fun to ride the bike. It's a totally new bike riding experience.
Yeah, it is, and it's a blast. It really, and like you said, it's fun. You just can't help but just, you know, your spirits soar. It's totally super fun.
Your spirits.
We took it off road. We took it up on the hill. It was it was a ton of fun. We got the kids on the back. You know, don't tell the guy, but they gave me some review.
He's like, "Hey, man, the back's actually kind of broken. Did you put some kids on here? Oh no, I would never do that."
Yeah. No, we didn't load it up with three people. No, we didn't do that at all.
Yeah, for you said this is on sale for $1,300.
$1,200. It's actually $12. Sorry. And there's $100. Yeah. And unless you're in San Francisco, there's $180 delivery charge.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
It's going to be more like, $1,400, which and then probably tax on top of that. So, $1,600, $1,700 by the time out of the door. So you know, it's not inexpensive, but I think it is inexpensive compared to other e-bikes.
Well, $1,300 is one of the cheapest prices I've ever heard of for an e-bike. I mean, you rarely see them for less than like $1,600.
Yeah, and it looks like pretty quality components. It looks pretty solidly built.
Heck yeah, it looks good too. It's a really good looking bike. Yeah, I would totally ride this.
Yeah. It's super fun.
Okay, the eSpin, and I think you were talking about the eSpin Flow, I'm guessing, from the model. Yeah.
I think I had the Sport one.
Oh, you had the Sport? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me check. They're all the same price anyway. Okay, so we'll link to that, of course, and all this stuff in the show notes. Buster.
Oh, man.
So I already know what Buster chose. I'm curious to hear how you like this thing, because we talk about drones, occasionally, and
Seems
is that what you're going with?
Yeah. It seems how some of our listeners love it when I talk drones, you know?
I know some of them do. And some of them are tuning out right about now.
Yeah,
and like, some of them are just getting downright angry.
God, Buster.
You know what's funny? Can I just say, we get comments occasionally of people who genuinely get pissed that we talk about drones. Like, we've received several comments, and people aren't, like, annoyed or slightly frustrated, but, like, one of the guys was, like, downright pissed that we would ever talk about drones on this show, which is surprising to me. It's like, I get being like, hey, man, I'm not into drones. I don't want to listen to this. But to be like, I can't believe you guys talked about drones.
Dude, I just think drones and electric vehicles are just, like, the coolest tech right now. Like, Leander's electric bike, that's right. So and, like, that's so fun. But,
I
yes.
totally agree.
I got the Typhoon H. It's from a company called Unique. Y-U-N-E-E-C. Totally ridiculous.
Dude, and cool brand name.
Yeah.
Did you feel unique name. When you were out there flying it around?
No, I felt super dorky. Like, this is not a drone that makes you feel cool to be droning. It's a hexacopter, so it's got six arms. And it's just massive. Like, if you've ever seen the DJI Phantom 3 or 4, those are decently sized drones. This thing is just, like, way bigger, even though...
It's almost like the Inspire, isn't it?
It's almost like the Inspire, and the legs do fold down, but it doesn't, like, make it that much more compact at all. Like, it's still big and bulky as heck.
Yeah.
One of, the, like, the best features on it would be, like, the camera. It's on, like, a 360 gimbal, so you don't have to, like, turn the drone turn the camera.
Yeah.
So that's pretty nice. It does have some, like, smart follow features like DJI has. That being said, I wouldn't recommend anybody buying it just because it feels like a piece of tech from, like, the 80s compared to, like,
that's actually a benefit to me.
Oh,
that actually makes me like it more.
You
80s tech is the best.
Like, the controller is, you've seen it. It's, like, the size of an Xbox. And
it's the biggest controller I've ever seen, actually.
It's got, like, 10 different knobs and switches that you have to fiddle with. And then it's got an Android tablet embedded in it, which is really slow and, like, unresponsive sometimes. So, and the range on it is super weak. It doesn't even fly a mile.
Wow.
With the video feed. So, I mean, I had high hopes for it because it looks cool. Like, it looks like the camera's awesome. Looks like it's probably, like, a heavy-duty competitor to the Phantom 4 or Phantom 4 Pro. But, I mean, it's just so bulky, and just the design is just not there, which is why I'm always impressed by DJI, because they're like Apple. Like, they really think the design through and make sure it, like, is a product that, like, delights you instead of a product that confuses you. And this is like if Microsoft made a drone. It would look like this.
If Steve Ballmer himself... had fashioned a drone for you. This is what it would look like. That's the Balmer drone.
I mean, you could do worse, but it's definitely the least favorite drone I've ever flown.
Well, is there one that you like more than the Unique, but less than the DJI?
Yeah, like the Bebop 2. That's like a really good drone,
really?
Actually. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I would have guessed that would have been like your last place contender.
No, because I mean, it's small. It doesn't, like, the wigs don't fold in, and it doesn't have like as good of like software as DJI, but it's small and it like zips really fast. So it's like a fun drone just to fly around and stuff.
It's incredible, isn't it? Like, how far behind everyone else is the DJI?
Yeah, it's insane. Like, and just playing with the Typhoon H, like, I think next year they're planning on making some software and obstacle avoidance upgrades for it, but that's going to be like a year away, and DJI is going to be so far past them. Like, I just can't see anybody competing with them.
I know that they're just competing with themselves at this point.
Yeah, it's insane. And like, they just came out with that Spark drone. That's the next thing I want to get.
Yeah.
Play with that little thingy.
Man, I was flying my Phantom 4 Pro in Florida, just like over the beach and stuff. And it was super windy.
Yeah.
And I was really nervous about flying it out over the ocean and stuff. But even in strong winds, it just was effortless. I flew it out over the water. It was doing some orbiting around these cool things in the ocean. And I mean, it was beeping at me, telling me that the winds were too strong. But I mean, dude, it does that all the time anyway. It's like, any breeze at all, it's constantly doing that.
I ignored that warning. I ignored the low battery warning. You know, all.
Oh yeah, low battery. Who cares about that, man?
I got this. Don't worry.
Low batteries. Got plenty of juice left. Who cares? Let's crash that thing into the water, and I'll go get it later. Alrighty, so I'll make sure we include links to everything in the show notes if you guys are interested in checking any of this stuff out. If you haven't noticed, we're trying to do some more hardware reviews on this show. We're trying to just check out more gadgets. We all like gadgets. We're all testing stuff out. So we're trying to talk about them more often because, you know, we honestly, we have a lot of fun doing this. Hopefully you guys like hearing about cool new stuff and, you know, maybe checking out some stuff, getting it for yourself. So with that said, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Coldcast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come say hi to us on Twitter, if you want to tell us about a gadget that you think that we should check out, that would be super helpful. We're on Twitter. I'm at AirFunBusters, BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Let me get a Gimli send off here, Buster.
Next time, hobbits,
you're gonna have to toss me. I said toss me.
Toss?
Yeah, when he has him.
Don't never tell anyone about this.
Don't tell the dwarf. Don't tell the elf. Yeah. You're gonna have to toss me. 3 watched those the other day. They hold up, man. They're so good.
Yeah, they were solid.
That's what The Hobbit was kind of lacking, that charm of those relationships.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just like too visual, I felt like.
I felt like the first two movies were kind of totally pointless. Honestly, oh. I feel like they should have just made The Hobbit one movie. Just one single movie.
Oh, The Hobbit movies? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, yeah, they were just out there for the money.
Like, the first and the second ones were really long and drawn out, and I like long movies, but I was like, what is the point here? Like, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
I can't honestly remember if I've even actually seen them. I know I have.
The Hobbits?
Yeah, The Hobbits and The Lord of the Rings. One of The Lord of the Rings ones, I was so bored, I watched it in fast forward.
Probably Return of the King, the last one.
It was just like super speed,
And I wasn't missing much because you could tell they're like, you know, they on the horses and they ride to a castle and they talk to the king and then they get back on their horse and they ride over to the woods and they talk to the elves and then they get on their horses and they ride over and then there was a big ridiculous battle at the end with all these stupid looking creatures.
Ridiculous battle, Leander. That was
the
one of
the
most
for the
epic,
world.
One of the most epic cinematic battles in movie history.
Joking,
some lame ass battle.
You know, that CGI was so fake. Yeah. I thought, okay, so I'm not going to go back and watch that one.
Weren't you an extra in one of those scenes, too? I thought I saw you on the side there.
Yeah, I was there. 2 short
Oh, it was wonderful. Too short, but wonderful.
Was it really?
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, it was like heaven on earth.
Even with all the rallies there?
Yeah, I avoided them.
What?
I avoided all them. That was the key, disappearing on the beach.
Yeah, cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I went to Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. Have you guys ever been there?
No.
Probably not. It's amazing. Like white sand beaches, crystal clear water. It's like 85 degrees and perfect, but it wasn't too crowded.
That's what Florida's like.
Is it all like that?
It seems to me. Yeah, we went all the way up and down the east and west coast, and almost everywhere we went, it was like that. The stuff on the Atlantic coast, I think, is a bit more crowded.
Yeah.
And there were definitely some crowded beaches, but there were lots of uncrowded beaches too.
Well, that was this one. It was a super long beach, and it is below Alabama, so it's not on the panhandle.
Okay.
And so there's not as many people there. I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. I haven't been to the rest of Florida, but the beach certainly was not as packed as I've seen other beaches. And just chilling out on the beach, you know, beautiful weather, lots of like bright, voluminous clouds, like the kind that you'd never see here in Washington. it's just great, man.
Drinking mojitos.
Did a couple lines of fine Colombian cocaña. I partied.
Couple of lines.
Yeah, I think I killed a man. A
couple of bags.
I haven't worked up to your level yet. I hope to one day.